Welcome back to the Mums and Tums Canada official podcast. I'm Heather Dolamont, your host, and I'm really happy to be back. The last couple of episodes have been really exciting for me, especially the last one, which was a special episode we put up having to do with doulas and all that fun stuff. So I hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you haven't gotten a chance to listen to it, definitely go back and check it out. And of course, we would love your feedback as always. So get in touch with us. Let us know how you thought, what you thought about it, all that kind of fun stuff. We're going to move on, actually, and go to the next segment in the Myths and Misconceptions line of episodes. And we're going to move on to part number four, which is, part number four is that a lot of women feel that they'll have no choice but to have a drug-free birth if they go with a midwife versus an OBGYN. And that at least they will have a choice if they go with an OBGYN versus a midwife. So this is definitely a popular misconception, that no choice on pain relief or an epidural or anything like that. So many moms-to-be assume that midwives are only for women who have easy labors or can handle pain. Or that midwives turn away women planning to use pain relief as part of their birth plans. So this is absolutely not the case. And as mentioned before, one of the cornerstones of midwifery care is that the woman is always the primary decision maker. And if she decides she wants an epidural or any other form of pain medication for her pain management, midwives will never ever say no, she can't have that. They spend a great deal of time during a woman's pregnancy talking about labor and birth and what all your options are, and part of that is pain management and pain relief. So the choice is always going to be entirely up to the woman, and the midwives are there to support that decision 150%. One thing to note is that in a very few cases, if complications arise from getting things like an epidural or Pitocin or both, your care may or may not have to be transferred over to the doctor or OBGYN on staff. And in that sort of a circumstance, your midwife would simply move into a supportive care role until your baby is born, and then would take over care for the baby and you once again once everything is safe. Okay, so that's something to note in case you didn't know. Also, if an epidural is what you ask for, then instead of other pain medications, it's important to know a few things about the epidural that is important to kind of go through. The first thing that I'll go through is that only an anesthesiologist can administer an epidural. So even if you were under the care of an OBGYN, this would still be the case. So the OBGYN would not be the one administering an epidural. They would have to have an anesthesiologist on staff do that for you. Usually hospitals have an average of 1 to 2 anesthesiologists on shift at any given time. So they will not usually have more than 2, and that's on the high end. They'll usually only have 1 that services the entire hospital. So that's an important thing to note, because I'll go through that in a minute and what that means exactly for you when you order an epidural. So the second thing I'll go through is, if an epidural is taken too early in labor, then you should note that you automatically are put at a 75% chance of needing an emergency C-sections due to complications arising from the epidural and Pitocin dosages that are given. It ends up being what we call a cascade of interventions, and I'll go through that in a separate podcast specifically for people to reference more about pain medications and how they all work and all that fun stuff. But this is something to be aware of, that that is a very likely event if you take epidural too early in labor. And what I mean by that is, if you are, there are 3 stages of labor. You have your early labor, you have your active labor, and you have your transition. if an epidural is ordered during early labor and kind of at the beginning of early labor, then that's where these chances skyrocket, basically. The third thing I'm going to go through is that there are a few instances where it may be too late to have an epidural administered, such as when you're nearing the 9 centimeters dilation or 10 centimeters. If you're rounding that corner to 9 or 10 centimeters of dilation and you're going to be ready to push well before the anesthesiologist even gets to you, then your care provider, whether it be a midwife or an OBGYN, is probably going to say that it's not possible to get an epidural into your system fast enough. So that's something else to note too. Number 4, and this is going back to when I mentioned about the fact that there's only one or two staffed anesthesiologists on shift at a time. So from the time you order an epidural to when you actually get one administered to you, this is a really important key point to understand. It may be as long as a couple of hours. And this can be simply due to the anesthesiologist already scheduled for back-to-back surgeries, C-sections, other women who want epidurals at the same time. You kind of get put in queue. So from the time that you order your epidural with the nursing staff, you get put in queue behind whoever else has ordered it before you or whoever's surgeries are scheduled before you. So because a hospital, like I said, doesn't put on more than one or two anesthesiologists on shift at a time, they're responsible for all surgeries happening that day and all the women giving birth who want an epidural and all the C-sections and all that fun stuff. So yeah, first come, first serve. So that may or may not change your plan down the road. It may have nothing to do with what you want to do. It's just something good to know so that you can kind of prepare yourself before you go into that. And number 5, the final thing that I wanted to mention is that you might adamantly have said to your midwife that an epidural is not what you want. However, in some cases, midwives will actually strongly recommend that an epidural be given to a woman in labor if it's not progressing properly or the woman is getting far too exhausted and they're not dealing with their pain constructively or properly. So in terms of a midwife and how they go about pain relief, we've kind of covered the basics about that and how it always ends up being your choice. So that's really, really important to understand that having a midwife at no point takes away your choice of having pain relief of any kind, whether it be natural or and all the way through to an epidural. So definitely not going to affect your choices for pain relief whatsoever. If anything, it's going to give you a lot more information through being cared for by a midwife, because your midwife is going to sit down with you and spend long amounts of time going through what to expect in labor and delivery, and pain medication is definitely going to be covered. So you get all of your questions answered and more so when it comes to dealing with how to approach pain medication that you might choose. And there are varying options other than an epidural, which I, like I said, I'm going to go through in a special episode on pain medications, because I think that's really important to go through separately. There are a lot of pain medications out there available to women who are in labor, and there's a lot of pain management techniques available to women on varying different levels. So I really want to spend some time and go through that for those who are really interested in knowing what exactly your options are out there. So this is going to kind of be a short one because it's pretty to the point and basic. The misconception that you're not going to have any choice if you have a midwife in terms of drugs or pain relief or epidurals or anything like that. We've kind of established over and over again now that it's that's definitely not the case. So thank you very much for joining us once again at the Mums and Tums Canada official podcast. I am Heather Dolamont, your host, and I hope you join us for the next segment, which we're going to attack the next number on the list. Actually, I'm going to attack 2 of them on the next one, number 5 and 6. So definitely stay tuned for that, and have yourselves a great day. We will see you next time.